Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Gentlemen, always an honor to be here with you. I'm ready to roll. We're going to turn the microphone over to you. Take it away, my friends.
Okay. Well,
yeah, tonight we're going to work again some more on the Greater Exodus. And hopefully tonight we're going to finish studying the Torah and what it has to say about the Greater Exodus. And the thing that's going to be scary tonight is we're going to look at some scriptures that point right to today, that point right to what we're living at now. How can a man...
Yeah, this very day.
Who lived 5,000 years ago be pointing right at this day? But first, let's get some principles down. The secrets of Yahuwah Eloheinu are given to his children and their sons forever and ever, that they may observe every word of the Torah. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. And this is something that's so important. Yet, unfortunately, the average evangelical church says nothing about the Torah. In fact, a lot of them, I think, would be happy if we could knock the Bible down to Matthew, a few epistles of Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have to have that chapter in Malachi about tithing. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, yes, but the problem is the whole set of lies that we have actually been living under that we're not even aware of, one of which is the replacement theology that's in the Christian circles across the denominations. where they feel their dispensation is replacing the Old Testament. Well, I got news for you. Our forefathers knew better. In fact, they studied it diligently, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, both. And that's why they were able to have such miracles occur. One of which was, well, there were many, many, but one that sticks to my mind is when they had a drought in 1622?
Yes.
And it was so severe that all of the corn crop, which was their mainstay for food, had all of the stalks and the leaves had turned brown. Well, now, I have never seen a brown, dead corn stalk ever revive.
No.
Even with water. But they fasted and prayed, and God, out of his mercy, sent a foggy mist, a heavy, heavy mist. Wasn't even a drizzle, it was a mist. And it stayed for over 10 days. I don't know how many additional days it was beyond that, but I know it was at least 10 days. And all of their crops revived. Not only their crops, but the Indian villages all around that whole area, their neighbors.
As a testimony.
Yeah. All of that. And they knew, the Indians knew that the Pilgrims had set aside these days of fasting and prayer. And they said, we have never seen God work in such a manner as he has responded to you this day, that we could have our crops back. It was, what a testimony that was. Well, I'm sorry to get off on a track there, but.
That's okay. You know, we need these miracles. And it's interesting you should mention a mist, because that's how our Heavenly Father watered the earth prior to Noah.
That's
in
true.
In what they call the antediluvian era.
That's right. A mist came up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So this is not unusual for our Heavenly Father to do that. In fact, I wonder sometimes, maybe in their Torah studies, they thought of asking for this very thing. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I will have to consider that. But let's go over quickly the principles of the Greater Exodus. When the Israelites, all of this starts when you're in the Israelites are in the Promised Land. If they commit gross iniquity, refusing to repent, they will be brought out of the land and taken to another land. There they will suffer until they repent of their wickedness and cry out for redemption. And then Yahuwah will bring them out of the other land back to the Promised Land. And for an example, let's start with Abram. He leaves Ur of the Chaldees, which is now Babylon. He goes to the Promised Land, taking Lot, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, with him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you know that his brother, who was the father of Lot, his brother was actually executed by Nimrod? And that's
yes.
why they had to leave?
Yes, they were pushed. Because Nimrod was, needless to say, from other sources in history, tell us he was quite the dictator. And so, but the Bible also talks to Abram about a call, I've got a place for you.
Amen.
And that's, because you know, you can leave, but what do you do when you leave and you have no place to go? Be one thing for me to put all my stuff in my car and go somewhere. But what if I don't have a place to go? Well, Abram was called to the promised land. And there he had a son named Isaac after lots of tribulation. And when his wife was in her 90s, suddenly he has a son named Isaac. Isaac would in turn have a son named Jacob. A lot of things I'm leaving out here, that's on purpose. Jacob, on the other hand, would have 12 sons by 4 wives. And as we said last week, most of us can't handle one. This man dealt with 4. Give him a little credit for that. All this happened in the promised land. Then we're asking, well, what's the great wickedness here? Well, the 11th son was Joseph. But I had to point, somebody pointed out to me, remember, Ephraim was the one that was given the birthright because he was the grandson of Rachel, Jacob's favored wife. So I had to fix that a little bit. But because Joseph had prophetic gifts and a closer relationship to Yahuwah, he sought him. The 10 previous brothers resented and hated him. And they sold him to the Midianites, who in turn sold him to the Egyptians. This was the wickedness. But our Heavenly Father was merciful enough to wait until Joseph had been established in Egypt and had lived there before he let the famine come and judge the promised land. And eventually when the famine came, Jacob and the 11 remaining sons and their offspring were forced to resettle in Egypt.
70 in all.
Yes. And Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. They were forced to go back to the world to be fed, well, as much of the world was. Eventually, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt and put in bondage. And this is, should be 430 years. That's what Exodus 12 says.
Yeah, it does. That's correct.
And I have, it should be 40 and 41. But when the Israelites, and I should say, cried out to Yahuwah, because they did, according to Exodus, he delivered them back to the promised land via the Exodus. Now we have our model. But we should point out a couple of things. One, not everybody got to the promised land from Egypt. Only 2 men, and we don't know how many when it wasn't stated. But Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that made it to the promised land. Because we had so many people, one, they worshiped the golden calf. That didn't help things out. 2, when they were ready to go into the promised land, they decided to send 12 spies. Well, 10 of those spies gave an evil report. And one of those spies out of those 10, if you check out his name in Hebrew numerics, it adds up to 666. Well, Joshua and Caleb said, we need to go in there now. We can clean up. But unfortunately, the people didn't listen. And so our Heavenly Father put a judgment on them that they would wander 40 years in the wilderness until everyone died off but these 2 men. Even Moses died off. He didn't make it. He just got to look at it from Mount Nebo. Well, we also pointed out that the rabbis and the sages frequently teach of a time where the Israelites would be regathered from every part of the world and brought back to Israel. And there they would rule and reign with the Messiah for the rest of time. When Yeshua came back the first time, or came the first time. That's what they thought he was going to do that time. But they hadn't read the scriptures close enough. They didn't understand that sin had to be dealt with first. And you cannot have people going into the promised land for the second time with sin, or actually that would be the third time. Because remember, after Babylon, there was a limited exodus back to the promised land. But not all the Jews went. In fact, probably two-thirds of them didn't. And that's sort of a disgrace on them. So, are these just Jewish fables, or is there any teaching in the scripture? We saw in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 4 last week, and you can get the slideshow for that. And also, I just put up the show on Live on the Edge website, so you can watch it and listen to it and follow the slides. But both scriptures talked about Israelites going into the promised land. Tells them what will happen to them if they turn to idolatry. That at that point in time, it was a warning. And they tell them that, but there is a promise. If you do turn to idolatry, you can repent. But we got a question here. Could there be more scriptures? You know, it's nice you have Leviticus and it's nice you have Deuteronomy. But is this the only time Moses talked about it? We're going to find out the answer is no. We go to Deuteronomy 28. And he does talk considerably about it. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahuwah thy Elohim, then Yahuwah will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. There's some diseases like that we've seen that were almost non-existent 300-400 years ago. But now we deal a lot with cancer. And they talk about in Egyptian literature about doctors that could remove tumors from the brain of all places. So that's the diseases of Egypt. We go to slide 11. And also, every sickness and every plague which was not written in the book of this law, them Yahuwah will bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. And I'm going, uh-oh. Could he be referring to bioweapons created in labs? I find it very interesting that the Spanish flu hit right at the end of World War I. And of course, the brilliance of our pharmaceutical company, Bayer, which, interestingly, Bayernen is a big company in Germany. Am I right, Major Baird?
That is correct.
It's a huge company. And we've talked in the past about how Bayern was part of IG Farben. Well, they also created Bayer aspirin. So when the Spanish flu hit, what did everybody do? Oh, we got to reduce the fever. So give them a couple aspirin. And because the fever was there to kill the the Spanish flu virus.
Yep. But
because we gave everyone aspirin, millions of people died.
Mm-hmm.
So makes me wonder, did they create Spanish flu in the labs, release it, and then offer, oh, we have the solution, Bayer aspirin. And they killed millions of people. I think their hope was that they would kill enough that the Allies would give up and Germany would win World War I. But unfortunately, Germany's goose was cooked by the end of 1917. They were starting to run out of everything, and they weren't, you know, they were spending more money on building bioweapons when they should have been feeding their people so they could even last the war. But then that's Tom Mack. I don't know. Maybe there's some things I don't understand about Germany, so I'll leave it there. Now, let's look at some other ones. At the end of World War II, and even during, and I guess before, polio. A lot of people have started to suggest maybe it was a manufactured virus. And suddenly, I know I was vaccinated for it several times in school, weren't you?
Yeah, that's correct. They don't publish people having polio anymore. It's spinal meningitis.
I find it interesting because, and then they say, oh, we cured it. No, you didn't. Then, of course, there's the AIDS virus, which I'm a little ashamed about because it was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland, by modifying a bovine virus. Several doctors finally came out and talked about it. Also, one of the people that's heavily involved in AIDS was Dr. Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then there's COVID-19. Here we go. Prophecy in Scripture. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, they have been brought upon us in the West. Because we have chosen not to follow Yahuwah, our Elohim. And after the diseases have done their work, the judgment gets even worse. And ye shall be left few in number. I guess diseases could do that. Whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldn't this not obey the voice of Yahuwah thy Elohim. As it shall come to pass that as Yahuwah rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Yahuwah will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you into naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it, and Yahuwah shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other. And there thou shalt serve other Elohim, which neither thou nor their fathers have known. Even wood and stone. And I might add paper. Because remember, our dollar bills are engraved.
Yep.
When you go to these nations, what do you think happened to the Jews in Europe? And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But Yahuwah shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. I guess they're all cooked. No. I guess it's going to be bad, though. In the morning thou shalt say, would it were evening, and at evening thou shalt say, would it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And this happened, I think, in the 4th century. And Yahuwah shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke unto thee. And thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. You're that worthless. A lot of Jews were taken to Egypt. But let's take it a little further. Egypt is a type of the world. They were scattered throughout the world and sold. We're still sold in a lot of ways. And another one, here's the worst judgment of all. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from Yahuwah our Elohim, to go and serve the Elohim of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. We keep getting warned, but we say, if we keep doing this, you will be rotten on the inside. Gall and wormwood do not smell well. And has there been a tribe to fall away? Notice when we read in Revelation 7, 1 and 8, that the tribe of Dan is not sealed. Interesting. Also, it seems that the tribe of Ephraim is now sealed as the tribe of Joseph. Find that interesting. But it gets even worse for these people. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart. We're in denial now, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst.
Yeah, you notice he doesn't have a problem with us drinking alcoholic beverages. It's drinking to the point of drunkenness.
But the interesting thing is they walk in the imagination of their heart, daydreaming, yes, wishing something was true when it's not.
Yep. That could describe the whole world today.
Yahuwah will not spare him. But then the anger of Yahuwah and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahuwah shall blot out his name from under heaven. And Yahuwah shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which Yahuwah hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like this overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Adamah and Zeboim, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath Yahuwah done unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? We'll get an answer in a minute. But I want to point out something. We have never seen the promised land destroyed like this because of the sin of the Israelites. But when you see brimstone, salt, and burning, could this be a prophecy of another country where a lot of descendants of Israel have gone? I start wondering, could this be a reference to North America? And of course, Dmitri Dudeman warned us of this back in the 80s. I met him as a young man. Of course, I was in a group of other people, but I did meet him and shook his hand and admired him for everything he went through. But we never listened to him. And now I'm afraid we're getting ready to pay the price. Now we're going to find out why Yahuwah abandoned Israel and will abandon every country that says they're going to serve Yahuwah, our Elohim, and they don't. Then the men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yahuwah, Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them, when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other Elohim and worshipped them, Elohim which they knew not, and whom they had not, he had not given unto them. And the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And Yahuwah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. As it is this day. But as I said, it sounds bad. But in Deuteronomy 30, we're given a promise. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither Yahuwah thy Elohim hath driven thee, and shalt return unto Yahuwah thy Elohim, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. So, you know, there's a little bit more involved here than just saying a sinner's prayer. It takes quite a bit more. Then Yahuwah thy Elohim will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither Yahuwah thy Elohim has sent, scattered thee. So when there is true repentance, that's a change of the mind, only then will Yahuwah act. Belief is only a starting point. You literally have to change what you do. And when that happens, Yahuwah will gather us from all the places where he scattered us. But just how far will he go? Let's read the next verse. If any of thine be driven out into the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will Yahuwah thy Elohim gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. That's long ways. So you can't run. You can't hide. And Yahuwah thy Elohim, in verse 5, will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Notice now he's bringing us into the land which thy fathers possessed. I guess since he nuked North America, he's going to take us to the promised land, or some suggest back to Europe, where we came from. And some people say that because in the 29th chapter of Acts, which was discovered about, maybe 150 years ago, it talks about a promise for the British Isles. We'll go into that another time. But today, this thing I want to point out, this is important. In Deuteronomy 36, if we repent, and Yahuwah thy Elohim will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love Yahuwah thy Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And just to show people how the prophets sometimes get their prophecies, Ezekiel studies Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And suddenly he comes up with a prophecy. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. We've heard this quoted, but too many times I've seen guys, especially evangelical preachers, quote verse 19 and leave out 20. Can't be doing that. Also, Ezekiel again revisited this prophecy when he wrote his own. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and do them. Here again, we're going to see a lot of this. We've set the basis of these prophecies in Deuteronomy, and they're going to become the basis for what the prophets will teach us as we study them in coming weeks. And the promises get greater. And Yahuwah thy Elohim will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of Yahuwah. Do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And now, we're going to get some promises. And Yahuwah thy Elohim will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For Yahuwah will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto Yahuwah thy Elohim with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, we need to understand as we the Torah is the basis for all biblical doctrine. If a doctrine, somebody come up with a doctrine that's not enumerated in the Torah, it's not valid. But if the principles of a doctrine is found in the Torah, then we can examine it further. Because the second foundation for all biblical doctrine is the prophetic teachings. And next time, we will begin studying what the prophets had to say about this. And one other thing I thought we would discuss in the last few minutes before we ended this is to go over some of the things that have happened in the Ukraine the last couple of days. There's been rumors, and we need to be praying against this, rumors that the Ukrainians are developing a dirty bomb. A dirty bomb would destroy the environment of that part of the world. And from what I understand, the Russians have contacted the United States, Great Britain, France, and Turkey. And in fact, Turkey has given Russian subs additional leeway to move in the Black Sea, which they normally don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't think Turkey could do anything to stop the Russians going wherever they want, but the fact that they were willing to call them and get permission speaks to how important this situation is.
Yeah, the sequence of events is kind of interesting because the latest announcement is that the Ukrainian government, in consultation with experts, didn't say who, in Great Britain, are nearly completed in their construction of the dirty bomb. And 3 days ago, the Secretary of Defense in Great Britain announced that he had to fly to Washington, D.C. because their communication wasn't secure. And it's my analysis that says one of those experts tipped off the Defense Department for him to know that they were actually working on a dirty bomb. And that is so sensitive and so time critical that he actually flew to Washington, D.C. I think it was Friday.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because Ben Wallace is probably one of the smarter ministers of that whole group.
Yeah, he is. Now, they consulted with one another, and then United States, Lloyd Austin, our counterpart, called the Russian military minister, Shoigu, Mr. Shoigu, and confided in him what had happened. I'm just giving you a scenario of what it appears happened, knowing how the mechanisms of this government work and having worked in it. And then once that information was shared with Russia, with a Russian military minister, Shoigu, I'm sure he then went to his intelligence agencies and said, "What do you have on this?" And they said, "Well, we have this faint piece of information here that appears that they're thinking of putting together a dirty bomb. Well, it obviously coinciding with that, they double-checked everything and everything matched up. And the next thing you know, you've got a call from Russia back to United States confirming that they indeed did have information on that, and that now that they had received this information, it was confirmed that it is a real thing, and it's a real threat, and it's a serious threat. Because then, you know, essentially what they're looking at is the Ukrainians as a wild heifer, unrestrained.
A rogue state.
Are we saying scorched earth policy if Ukraine thinks they're going to lose?
Well, it would be, because if they set off a dirty bomb as a false flag,
yes,
claiming that, in that case, claiming that it was Russia and nobody else knew about it and it was in the secret, you would immediately have, because that's already been stated, that if a nuclear device was detonated by Russia, then NATO and United States and everybody would jump in and come against Russia. And that's one of the red lines right there that everybody has agreed to, all the way up and down the line. And, you know, it's essentially a propaganda spin to generate fear so that you can get the population to agree to and assent to whatever you want to do as you manipulate them. And this is a manipulation for sure. Now, having been discovered beforehand, and Russia then having been the key player in it, because they certainly are not going to be using a nuke. They have not ever said that they're going to be using a nuclear weapon. They have said that they have weapons that could counter other people using nuclear weapons, but they have never said they would use them. Now, that's a fine point. However, because of this, it created an emergency, what I would call a DEFCON emergency. The whole world should be on DEFCON 1 right now, because it's that sensitive and that dangerous. But they try to keep it low-key so that it's not going to trigger anybody that's half-cocked, as they are anyway. And so in order to continue to expose it and make sure that everybody knows about it so that they can't do it in the sly, Russia then immediately called France, Turkey, United Kingdom, and United States back again, informing everyone of this plot that is in the making right now. And it is a real plot. So by having exposed it, it kind of nips it in the bud temporarily. I only say it temporarily because we look at the scriptures as we're looking at them right now. And we have seen a couple of scriptures that have already described scorched earth. And what does a nuclear war do? It leaves a scorched earth, but a lot larger than just in one spot. How do you think you're going to have a third of mankind annihilated? And then after that happens, one of the trumpet plagues comes along, essentially the same thing, and kills off another quarter that are left. Well, if you add up, if you take actual hard numbers of what the third is and what the fourth is, you will find that it equals together, in a ratio, it equals one half of the world population. And just that kind of incident. And you read the judgments, there's seven more.
Absolutely. You know, gentlemen, there are, I've been told, what is called clean nukes, They don't leave any contamination. Yes. Clearly, Russia wouldn't be the instigator and detonate a dirty bomb right on their border because they're going to infect their own country. I think that it's very sad to say this, but I said it a few months ago. We might see a false flag in America, and they'll blame it on whoever they want to instigate another war, just like happened with September 11th. We can say the Russians did it. We can say whoever we want did it. Isn't it interesting that officially Biden does not want to negotiate anything with Zelensky and Putin? And Zelensky said he doesn't want to negotiate. If they're saying they don't want to negotiate, then what is their goal? If not to continue this war? I think anybody in their right mind that sees this situation, if anything happens over there in terms of a dirty bomb, we know who to finger. It's America fighting this proxy war in NATO with Ukraine. Russia says they want to sit down. Elon Musk said you need to sit down, and one of the ministers said, go F yourself. I don't even think Zelensky's called the shots, to tell you the truth. I think he's just our puppet. I don't like the guy one bit. But the hubris of our government, military, to think that we could take on the bear and win? Are you kidding me? So, I mean, what's going on here, guys? Either these people are just fools, really thinking they could win against Russia, or they want to bring America down and draw Russia into this war. What do you think?
Well, I think the political element, not necessarily the military element, but I think the political element does, in fact, desire to do that, because we've heard that over and over. They've been look at the countries and look at the agencies that have espoused, oh, be careful, we're going to have a nuclear war. Oh, be careful, Russia's going to use a nuke on us, a tactical nuke, and that will really, and of course, when they say tactical nuke, they try to pretend that that's where it stops. But the very first nuclear explosion releases hellfire around the world immediately. And the nuclear portion of the war will be very short.
Do you remember a statement from one of our generals, it would have been back in the 90s, who said, at the time that a nuclear weapon is detonated anywhere on the globe, I believe he said it's the area that grabs Canada as well, I forget what it's called, something com. They said we would have martial law in America, and we would have troops on the ground from America and Canada patrolling the cities, basically, is what he said. Doesn't matter where the nuke went off. Do you remember that saying there?
I don't remember that particular portion of it, no, but I've seen other announcements made that of what the nuclear scenario would be.
So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If we pulled a false flag over there, that would be the pretext to stop the elections, wouldn't it?
You can't. Elections is still continuing.
Well, the elections are going right now. Tell you, I have my ballots right here.
You could say, hey, we've already had one nuke go off. You need to shelter in place. Everybody can't have a fair chance to get out on the streets and drive up to vote. No, I think everything would cease to exist. And I wouldn't put it past these people to do it.
True, the trouble is, like I say, right now it's going to be very difficult because, Ben Wallace did the smart thing. He flew to the United States because everybody knows British intelligence is a leaky ship.
Oh, speaking
of
British.
If you want some evidence of that, there's a movie called Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, which outlines that rather carefully.
So maybe it has been diffused, at least that vantage point. Did you hear that the next prime minister may be a Indian national?
Yes.
Yes.
We talked about him a few weeks ago.
Or I guess he was born in Britain, but he's of Indian heritage.
Yes, that's correct. He will only be there a few months, and then there's another guy that's in the Labour Party, and he's the one that they want to put in.
I was just going to say, is this guy a Indian patriot or is he a British patriot? I wouldn't feel too good as a Brit to have an Indian running the show. I'm just saying.
No. I know, but I understand that. No.
What, do you want to go back to Liz Truss?
Oh, no. No, she's terrible. I like that other guy, Jeremy something. What was Jeremy's name? That dude who's like, he was a patriot?
Honestly, the one that should be prime minister is Ben Wallace. He's the one that's got a level head about him.
I mean, who's the one that initiated Brexit? He was a dude that authored Brexit. Jeremy something.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, we've got 3 minutes. Gentlemen, fascinating today. I mean, I feel good that this thing has been exposed, if that's what they were going to pull. And I hate to say that about my own government, but I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Well, it's not over yet, because you got to remember what it's exposing is our government isn't in control. We have rogue elements in our government that still can do that false flag.
And not only that, in the Ukraine itself.
Yes.
Remember, this is not the first time there's been a dirty bomb in that area. Battle of Kursk, Major Baird was the first one to point it out to me that was a dirty bomb done by Dr. Richter, who was a Nazi scientist. And a lot of those Nazis from the SS are in Western Ukraine.
That's right.
I'm sure a lot of the information from that dirty bomb is still available. And they can certainly manufacture the plutonium a lot easier now than they could back then.
That sure is an interesting twist.
And that's probably the one thing they haven't got done yet, is they haven't refined the plutonium to get it to a point where they could use it to detonate it.
Correct. To get it weapons grade, yeah.
Go ahead.
But they have the expertise to do it internally right there. They don't need any outside experts to come in. They've got that.
Well, we saw in the 1990s a kid published an article in a magazine telling us how to build a nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, go ahead and give out your contact information.
I have it up here on the screen.
Okay, give it for people who are doing the audio only.
Okay, well, this is Major Tom Baird, retired, and you can reach me at my website at aliveontheedge.com or my email, which is tom@aliveontheedge.com. You can go to the website. There's many teachings there, as well as prophecies, some of which the Lord had given me, as well as George Washington, our founding father, one of our founding fathers, and many others that speak of this very time we are in right now.
AliveOnTheEdge.com. Okay. Brother Tom?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we have my email, tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. And the websites, well, we have a lot of them. Also, our books, too. Whitestone Foundation, BibleCodes.co, BibleMusic.live, AntichristWatch.org, and JohnVanHelsing.com. There's a whole bunch of them.
Gentlemen, I want to thank
and
you for coming
White on. And also WhiteCottagePublishing.com. Can't miss that one. Especially since I got the little white cottage in my background.
Don't forget, we're primarily a podcast, so that's why you want to make sure you do give that for those who are just going to be listening to the MP3. Okay, so that's good information there tonight, brothers. And we only have an hour tonight, but as always, if you ever want additional time, I got plenty of slots Monday through Sunday. Just let me know. We can always come back and do a late show anytime you guys want to do it. And Major Tom, anytime you want to do some bonus shows, let me know. We'll give you the mic.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Gentlemen.
Hopefully within a few weeks, 2-3 weeks, I'll be at my new place where I have an office.
Fantastic.
And then it'll be much more easily done. I have a little baby asleep behind me right now.
Okay. Love you both, gentlemen. Thank you for coming on tonight.
God bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Folks, stay tuned as we continue the program tonight. Stand by. Let me switch gears. Here we go.